Ephesians chapter 6, we come to the last chapter of Ephesians today. Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 3. Before we start, I don't know, this might help to set a bit of the stage for this text and for the ones we've already been looking at. Go back in time, if you could. It's the year 60 A.D. I don't know how well all of us can imagine what 60 A.D. would have looked like since we're so far removed from that, but imagine if you can. You're in the Roman province of Asia Minor. I don't know how we can imagine that either, since most of us probably haven't been out of the country, maybe, or not very often. But imagine that. City of Ephesus, and it's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day, and night is coming on. So the day laborers, and it's likely you were a day laborer, the slaves, it's also likely you were a slave, have been given leave from their duties. And it's the Lord's Day, so as soon as you get off work, as soon as you get out of that your duties as a slave, where do you go? You gather in that upper room of one of the wealthy families in the church. You gather in that large upper room with all the other Christians in Ephesus. And on this night, on this particular Sunday night, there's an unusual excitement in the air. You can just kind of feel it. There's a buzz. And the Apostle Paul, he had spent almost 3 years in your very city, in your hometown. Paul had spent 3 years there, founding and establishing this church. The reason you're in this upper room is because of Paul, the Apostle Paul, Christ's appointed representative. Now, you never knew Jesus when he was here on this earth, but Paul has seen him, right? After the fact, Christ appeared to Paul and sent him as his ambassador to the city of Ephesus. And many of those gathered in that upper room had known Paul. They had known him personally. They had been saved as a result of his teaching. But there were also many who had been saved later on. They had only kind of heard of the Apostle Paul and of his teaching. So it's been 5 years now, 5 years, since Paul left. And when he left, he was going further west, visiting other churches that he'd already established and set up. On his return journey back to where he was from, in Jerusalem, all the way on the other side of the Mediterranean Sea, Paul's ship happened to stop in the port city of Miletus. Miletus was 50 miles south of Ephesus, and in a day when you didn't have cars and fast transportation, 50 miles was a bit of a journey, especially on foot. But Paul had called for the Ephesian elders, not the whole church, they couldn't all make it, but he called for the elders to come and see him. And when those elders returned back to the church in Ephesus, they brought news from Paul, among many other things. They brought news that Paul would never see their faces again. Paul said only that the Lord had shown him that in every city, persecutions and afflictions and sufferings awaited him. And sure enough, it wasn't long before news reached these Ephesian Christians who were gathered now in this upper room, that Paul had been imprisoned in Caesarea, and then he had made a journey to Rome, where now he was in prison in Rome, awaiting his appeal to the emperor. But just recently, a Christian brother named Tychicus had arrived from the city of Rome, where Paul was in prison. And he had brought with him a letter from the Apostle Paul. Tonight, one of the elders is going to read that letter to the gathered Christians in that upper room. I don't know if I can hardly imagine the excitement they must have had. Not only knowing it's the Apostle Paul who they loved and who had given his life, really, for them, but knowing that the Apostle Paul was a messenger of their Lord Jesus Christ, who had laid down his life ultimately for them. And so gathered in the meeting room that night were men and women. There were husbands and wives. There were parents and there were children. And there were masters and slaves all together in the same room. And they all sat there together to listen to what we call today the book of Ephesians. We call it a book. For them, it would have been a long letter. It's one of those things you call an epistle. It's not just a letter. It's longer than that. It's an epistle from the Apostle Paul. And as the people sat there listening to this letter being read, there were a lot of deep things. There were a lot of things that were hard for them to understand. And I imagine that they were waiting for, you know, their elders to look at that and bring many more messages explaining what Paul meant by some of these deep things. In fact, Paul prayed a couple of times in the letter. He told them, I pray that God will open your hearts to understand these things, that he will give you enlightenment to see the things I'm talking about and how beautiful they are. But there were also a whole lot of things they did understand. They did get. After about the first half of the letter, Paul seemed to shift his focus a little bit. I say after the first half because they wouldn't have said in chapter 4, would they? It'd be after the first half of the letter, he seemed to shift his focus. And he began to say, now here's how you ought to live in light of all these deep, mysterious things I've said, but beautiful, here's how you live in light of God's love to you. In light of the mercy that he has lavished on you, here's how you live. And then he began addressing, after some initial comments to everyone, he started to turn to specific groups of people in that room, in that upper room. You know, we have to realize this wasn't an email that Paul sent, and he sent part of it to the parents, and part of it to the children, and part of it to the wives, and part of it to the husbands. No, they're all listening to the letter together, and then as the elder is reading the letter, all of a sudden, he's reading the letter, and Paul addresses certain people in the room. First, he addressed the wives in the room. Then he addressed the husbands who were in attendance there on that Sunday evening. Then he spoke right to the children. Then he spoke to the fathers. And included in the fathers, but we'll talk about that next week. It was fathers especially, but then included with them parents in general, fathers and mothers. Then the slaves who were there, and finally the masters. Can you imagine? Here you've got, in this upper room, you've got slaves and perhaps their own masters sitting in the same room as equals in Christ. And yet, what will Paul tell the slaves? Obey your masters. And he'll tell the masters, do not be harsh with your slaves. This morning, we come to Paul's instructions to the children. And I have been praying for you children all week. I have been praying that I would be a blessing to you. I've been praying that God's word is going to be an encouragement to you and that you will be lifted up as of this morning. Just as there were children gathered in that room in Ephesus all those years ago, and I don't know what their names were or all their different ages, but they were there. They sat and they were listening to Paul's letter. And so now I know there are children gathered here 2,000 years later to listen to the same letter and to hear these very same words. Children, obey your parents. Now, what happens when you hear those words? Do they irritate you? Do they grate on you at all? Does it come up? You know why I'm asking you this question? Because I can imagine myself sitting in your shoes right now. Yeah, right, I know. I know I'm supposed to obey my parents. That's what they've been telling me ever since I was born, right? The Apostle Paul writes just to the children. He writes just to you. He says, children. And then this is what he says, obey your parents. And it feels maybe easy to respond, I know. Even if we usually don't mind obeying our parents. Maybe you say, my parents are great. I love obeying my parents. But you know, when you hear those words, children, obey your parents, now that just kind of can grate at us the wrong way. Somehow, maybe to hear those words is slightly annoying. All of us here were children at one point. All of us here. You know, we go through life, all of us, in every different stage. You know, I want to encourage you children that some of us as parents failed as children. You have a chance to succeed where perhaps your parents didn't. You have a chance to live this out in a way that maybe your parents never did. This is your opportunity. You'll be adults one day, you'll be parents one day, but right now you're children, and this gives you an opportunity. Children, obey your parents. We all know the feeling, all of us, because we were all children one day. But just because the feeling of perhaps being a little irritable at those words is universal, doesn't mean it's excusable or that there isn't another way. And this is what I've been praying all week long. There's another way, and it's a way that Paul's about to show us, okay? But how can we hear those words? How can you hear those words? Children, obey your parents. How can you hear those words? And respond with a willing surrender. And even a gladness in your heart. Isn't that what we've been talking about through the whole book of Ephesians? It's not grudging doing what God says. Isn't it joyful obedience and surrender to what God's word tells me is what he wants? Doesn't that then apply to children, obey your parents? But how does that happen? How do we do that? Well, it's the same way. There's no fancy answer for this that we haven't already heard, and Paul gives it again here in Ephesians. Sometimes we could even wonder why Paul bothered giving this instruction, children, obey your parents, because at the end of the day, parents at some point make it so their children don't have a choice at some level, and when they're especially young. As they grow older then, more freedoms come, more choice comes, but still there's that relationship of authority. And so Paul comes then to give us the three key words. And, you know, children, obey your parents, that's the start. But this is the key. These are the words you spend all your whole rest of your childhood thinking about in the Lord. What does that tell us? First thing it tells us is that Paul is talking to you children. And we're talking to the children today. He's talking to you children who have been born again, who have a new heart, who have, in other words, been adopted into God's family. And as Paul puts it in chapter 1, you have heard with your ears the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you have believed that word. In other words, Paul is not talking to all children everywhere. He's not. He's not necessarily, though I pray he is not necessarily talking to all the children in this room. Paul is talking to the children who are in the Lord and who have placed their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And because you've truly believed, because that's who you are, now you are in Christ, you are in the Lord, and that's the only reason Paul has confidence in saying what he says. That's the only reason Paul says this to you. Because he knows who you are. He knows what's happened to you by the grace of God. You see, Paul knows. Here's the thing. Paul knows that we're all born into this world at our youngest age as a child. We're all born into this world with a sinful lust. And this is children. This is what I want you to know about yourself. Okay? One of the keys to coming to embrace obedience to our parents is seeing what we have to fight against. We're all born into the world with a sinful lust. Lust is a craving. a desire to live life our own way. And certainly you see that as early as 2 and 3, right? But as you grow up, it doesn't leave us as adults. Know this as a child. This is what you have to fight against. It's that craving inside for freedom, for the right to do as I want, and even what I really, 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 really believe is the best thing for me. Paul knows all about that craving. He's a sinner just like you are. And so when he writes this to you, he's not writing it as though he doesn't understand and doesn't care about how hard this is. It's hard, but it's hard because not because of your parents and not because of something else out there. It's hard because there's a craving inside. And it's that leftover craving from that remaining sin nature within that says, I want independence for me. Even if I just believe it's really best. Paul knows that. And so he knows that disobedience to parents is... By the way, Paul is not like talking to you for your parents' benefit here. Okay, it's like your parents could be somewhere else. Who cares where they are right now? Paul said, children, talking to you. Children, obey your parents. Paul knows these things, and so he knows that disobedience to parents is really just the inevitable, and it is inevitable, it happens, everyone, all of us. My parents are here, I know I disobeyed my parents. You've disobeyed your parents, my parents disobeyed theirs. We all did it. We did, because. That's the outward expression, inevitable, of those inward sinful cravings that we all have from the moment we're born. And so Paul writes in Romans 1, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. Disobedience to parents isn't really the problem. It's not the ultimate problem. It is, but it's not the ultimate problem. It's the sinful craving for independence to be my own boss and do as I see fit. That's the deeper problem, and that's what you have to fight against. That's the Achilles heel. That's what gets us every time. And it's so very serious because it's hardwired into you. I can't emphasize enough that this is the problem and that it exists inside. And it's that sin nature. Because if we don't realize that, we'll never get to the root and find joy in obedience. We'll always fight the battle and always be a losing one. Children, you were born into this world. Children, you were born into this world with a strong resistance to the very idea of obeying your parents. I was too. We all were. And Paul knows this. That's why he says to the children, to you children today, if you've placed your trust and your faith in Christ, Paul says to you children, obey your parents in the Lord. See, there's the gospel. Obedience to your parents isn't just some outward duty that you've got to buckle down and force yourself to fulfill. Obey your parents, children, as the way to work out and live out and show on the outside what God has done in you on the inside. That's what it is. Obey your parents as the way to express, to let it out what you have rejoiced to know God has done inside you. Children, obey your parents as the working out and the overflow of this amazing reality that you are a new creation in Christ. The Apostle Paul, by the way, didn't just now start talking to you, right? He didn't just, now I'll start talking to the children. No, he's been talking to you this whole letter. The whole thing has been to you children who are in the Lord. And so he wants you to see that the command to obey your children is especially in the light of chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. And now we can go to the next slide. Oh. I must have put it in the wrong spot. Go to the next one. There it is. I believe this is what I want. Yeah. Yeah, look up there. It says he's talking to the children here. Children in the Lord, watch carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as the wise. Not being foolish, but understanding the will of the Lord. Not drunk with wine, but filled in the Spirit. And how you show all that is submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives to your husbands, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So it's not just like Paul got to this point and said, okay, now I got to think about the children. What should I say to children? Okay, obey your parents. No, Paul's been talking to you this whole time. And he wants you to be all these things, not unwise but wise, not foolish but understanding the will of the Lord, not drunk with wine, but he wants you children to be filled in the Spirit. He wants that for you. And so he says, submitting to one another, and here's how children, here's how you live this out in the Lord every day. Here's your chance. Here's your opportunity. Obey your parents in the Lord. Now we can go back to where we were. To obey your parents in the Lord means that you're really giving your obedience directly to Jesus Christ Himself. Think of that. How many of us, and I wish I would have thought more like this. When I would, maybe, I don't know. I don't remember my childhood, really. Bad memory. But I wonder if, I want to encourage you that when you obey your parents, see it as obedience to them, but see that as Christ receiving that obedience from you. That's what it is. When you obey your parents in your handout, not just because you feel like you have no other choice, but as a sign of your devotion to Jesus, then Jesus actually receives your obedience as obedience given to Him. Children, Paul is not treating, and sometimes this world doesn't understand the place that God has given to children, and we understand He's given it to children in the church. And I want to call you children who have trusted in Christ to show us, to show me devotion to Christ through your obedience to your parents. I saw a child once honoring, obeying his parents when it seemed to me that the parents were being unreasonable. I saw a child, even when that child's parent, and this is not someone in our church, even when that child's parent was being unreasonable, I saw that child give obedience from a heart that looked sincere. It was a beautiful thing, and it set an example for me. I saw that, and I said, I need to be submissive like that to the authorities in my life. I need to have a devotion to Christ that shows itself in difficult ways like that. You children, can show us what devotion to Christ looks like. When you obey your parents, not just because you feel like it, not because you feel like you have to, but from devotion to Christ. You see, in the Lord means everything. In the Lord. That's everything. And so what we see, children, is that your obedience to your parents, you know what that is? It is a sign of your exalted status as a son or a daughter of God. Yes, you see, you were born into this world with that sinful craving to be your own boss, to do as you see fit, especially when it looks like others are wrong. But now something's changed, and your obedience to your parents is one of the evidences that you are an equal heir with your parents of the grace of life. See, there are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. You have equal access with your father and with your mother to the very throne room of God because you are in Christ. You don't come to God through your parents. So I said to the wife, doesn't come to her God through her husband. And so it's now your obedience to your parents that shows the transforming power of the gospel in your life, and that you are that new creation, and that you are equal heir with your parents of the grace of life, with equal access to God. You don't come to God on their shirt tails, on their coattails. And we know that because of obedience. And this is what the gospel does, okay? The gospel breaks down all the barriers and all the distinctions between parents and children, husbands and wives, slaves and masters, Jews and Greeks, breaks them all down, and then even as it breaks them all down, it affirms and sanctifies obedience and submission. Children, there is no other sign in this world at this stage in your life. And you know what? You'll grow out of this stage, not of the need to honor your parents, but Paul's specifically talking here to children with still in their parents' home, in their household. You'll grow out of that stage, maybe before you know it, and then you'll look back. And will you have made the most of that opportunity? There's no other sign more powerful, more beautiful in all the world right now that you are truly one of God's children being remade into His image. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, all of us like to ask why, don't we? Not just children, but adults too. I want to know the reason, and I want the reason to be a really good one, right? That started out for all of us. As soon as we were born, we want to know why, pretty much. So to the question, why should I obey my parents? Paul's kind of already answered it, really, within the Lord. But now to that question, Paul answers, why should I obey my parents? For this is right. And there's a whole lot of children, perhaps even adults, who aren't going to be satisfied with an answer like that. But what about you? What about me? What if God said, Timothy, here's my will. Timothy, here's what you got to do. And why? For this is right. Is that answer good enough? Now, it is easy to want a better, more convincing reason. And it was interesting. I read some convincing reasons. But you know, at the end of the day, nothing ever satisfies when it comes to obedience. Ultimately, not as much as the simple truth. This is right. I mean that. I mean, that will liberate you. Because if we're always looking for a reason that explains some logical answer or some the benefits to me right now, I mean immediate benefits to me, that's never going to satisfy no matter how good the answer might be. But for all those children who are in the Lord, and that's who Paul's talking to, right to you, for you who are in the Lord, it's what's right that matters more to you than anything in the world. It's what's right that holds now a special attraction for you. An attraction. So when you hear the words, for this is right, after that initial maybe, I wish it was better than that, do you take a second look and say, okay. Remember, Paul was speaking equally to the children when he wrote these words in chapter 5. He was talking to you, Ephesians 5, 8-10, for you were once darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, because the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, carefully working to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. But the good news is here is you don't have to carefully work to discern. You don't even have to carefully work to discern it, because it's already clear. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's almost as though Paul was saying to those children in the Lord, I know you've been asking this. I know you're always asking, what's right? What's pleasing to the Lord? And Paul says, since you've asked, let me tell you, obey your parents, for this is right. As Paul says in Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. This, since you asked. And really, it's just this simple knowledge that can give you strength and courage. You know, I told you I've been praying for you all week. I really have, that this would be a blessing to you. And what I'm hoping is that you'll feel right now the encouragement and the strength and even the courage that this gives you. This is right. Even when it's difficult, even when you don't feel like it, even when your parents are being unreasonable, it's the simple knowledge that obedience to your parents is right, pleasing to your Lord. Your Lord. Not your parents' Lord. Your Lord. When Paul says, for this is right, his point seems to be that this is one of those laws that God wrote on everyone's hearts, including all children. In other words, everyone knows, without even having to have the Bible tell them or someone else tell them, everyone knows that it's right, deep inside, for children to obey their parents. And it's right, everyone may not acknowledge this, but it's right, everyone knows, because it's the will of God, because this is what pleases the Lord. And we know that, and we know what a huge deal this is, because it's one of the Ten Commandments that God wrote with his own finger on the tablets of stone. So now Paul quotes that commandment, children, obey your parents, your father and mother, in the Lord, for this is right. And my prayer for you is that you hear gospel in those words, not burden, not duty, not drudgery, not irritation, but gospel, but freedom, but peace, to live out the new creation that you are in Christ. Okay? Honor your father and mother. And really, there's nothing new there. Paul has already said it, essentially. Maybe you've heard this before. You know, obedience isn't just outward conformity. It's not just outwardly complying. It's not just doing what your parents say while inwardly you're resisting and rebelling and maybe full of anger. How could that ever be when you're obeying your parents as a sign of your devotion to Christ? See, that's what changes everything. Children, you have a high calling. A high calling. True obedience in the Lord means, in your handout, honoring your parents from the heart, in thought, because God sees our thoughts, in word, and in deed. Obedience and honor must characterize every single aspect of your relationship with your parents. I want to say to the parents right now, I hope that as parents, your view of your children is being elevated. I hope that as parents, you're hearing these words and you're seeing your children. Maybe, I hope as you've seen them before, but even higher, even more elevated, I hope you're seeing the holy calling that God has laid on your children as those who are in Christ, if indeed they are, and they've placed their trust and faith in Christ. Leviticus 19:3 says, every one of you shall revere or fear is the word, fear, revere his mother and his father. I am the Lord. To the children, I just want to encourage you. You might notice that here the mother is mentioned first before the father. And I think the point is that from your perspective as children, your father and mother are equal in authority. Equal in authority. And both are to be equally feared and honored. Not the father more than the mother, or for that matter, the mother more than the father. They're equal in authority from the child's perspective. Back in verse 21, when Paul introduced this whole theme of... Now, I will say, hopefully children see headship and submission being worked out in their parents' relationship. That's important. But back in verse 21, when Paul introduced this whole theme of submission, he said, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. And so here it is. Now you can write those words down. Children, as children, your holy calling, is to fear and reverence your mother and your father. Not just do what they say, but fear and reverence. As an expression, because we don't just do what Christ says, because we have to. No, it's the expression of your fear and your reverence for your Lord Jesus Christ, who is the coming judge, and also your Savior and King. In the end, that's the only way. It's the only way that you can sustain true biblical submission to your parents. You will only be enabled, as you fight that battle with the sin nature day in and day out, you will only be enabled to obey and honor your parents in the true fear of Christ. And so I think of what Jesus said to his disciples, or what John wrote in his letter. How can you say that you love me if you don't keep my commandments? How can you say that you love me if you don't love one another? And so there's always that test for all of us. And what we can do as children is say, how do I know I love Christ? How do I know I fear and reverence and honor Christ? Do I fear and reverence and honor my parents? You can. Let me say to you, you can. You can obey your parents in the Lord. In fact, that's the only way you can, and that's especially true when we remember that our parents, your parents, all parents, are very far from perfect. There are some parents who abuse their authority. That's true. There are times it's going to be sadly true of your own parents. But then, even then, your divine calling as children remains the same. Just as a mother, a wife, is to submit to her husband, even when her husband is not loving her as he should. Just even when a slave submits to his master, even when the master is being unreasonable. In the same way, children are to obey their parents, even in that moment when their parents are exasperating them and provoking them to anger. Even then. You say, that's impossible. No, it's not, when we're a new creation in Christ. That's the whole point of being a new creation, is to make what was impossible possible now, because of the Spirit that lives within. Your calling is not to honor your parents because of their worthiness. They are not worthy of your obedience. Not worthy in and of themselves. They don't have any inherent right unless it's God-given. And God has given it to them, and that's the point. You owe it to them not because of their worthiness, but rather because God Himself, in His sovereign wisdom. And so often at the end of the day, we only come back to that. God's sovereign wisdom has appointed them to that position of authority. Calvin writes, "The human mind recoils from the idea of subjection, and with difficulty allows itself to be placed under the control of another. Experience shows how rare this virtue is, for do we find one among a thousand that is obedient to his parents?" That's not an overstatement. But when we remember that obedience includes honor, then we might even say one among 10,000. So then I ask here today, who is the child that fears and honors his parents? Who is he? Who is she? Who are you? Who's the child that fears and honors even his sinful and flawed parents? I'll tell you who he is. He or she is nothing less than God's own new creation in Christ. That's who you are. Honor your father and mother. And then Paul interrupts his quotation so he can introduce the next part. This is the first commandment with a promise, in order that it may be well with you and you may live long upon the earth. So, before we ask the question, first of all, that this is the first commandment with a promise shows us, in Paul's mind, how extremely important this is. That's Paul's point. Children, this is a really huge, big, huge, big, huge deal. This is not a matter of kind of a secondary thing. This is huge for Paul because for him it's huge for God. Because it's the first commandment God gave to which he attached a special promise. Honor your father and mother in order that it may be well with you and you may live long upon the earth. Now, the only way this is going to have any impact upon you is if you're truly in the Lord. If you're truly one of God's children. But if that's you, then listen up. Because this should encourage you. Jesus reminded his listeners in Matthew, I'll say even if you're not in the Lord, listen, because may this lead you to Christ. May this bring you there. Jesus reminded his listeners in Matthew 15, God commanded, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. In Israel, we know the punishment appointed by God for a child who belligerently dishonored his parents was death. And even when maybe the law failed to carry out that punishment, you might say, well, I'm sure glad that doesn't seem right to me, right? Or maybe, I don't know. Even when the law failed to carry that out, though, God was not blind to the child's reviling of his parents. And the only thing that child could expect from God for the rest of his life, as long as he continued in that attitude towards his parents, was his judgment and displeasure. And the complete absence of God's blessing from his life. It's like you're just cut off from the blessing of God. That's true even today. If we value the blessing of God in our lives today, disobedience to parents is one of the most certain ways to cut yourself off from God's blessing. So we read in Proverbs, if one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. And this is, when you talk about ravens picking the eyes out, that's what they would do to a dead carcass. right? And in the law, it was death for the child. And so I think he's picturing this. But maybe it was even more than the death penalty. It just pictured a life without God's blessing. So the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Children, if you're in the Lord and you take those kinds of words to heart, now what do you say to yourself? Well, if that's where that gets me, I want the opposite. I want God's blessing on me. How do I get it? Paul says that those who practice disobedience to parents are worthy of death. That's in the New Testament. So what's deserved doesn't change. But for all those children who are in the Lord, the curse of death gives way wholly and completely to blessing. Blessing for you. The threat and the warning is replaced now with a wonderful promise, and this is what we have in the commandment. Honor your father and mother in order that it may be well with you. And well is a loaded word in the Bible. It's blessing and fullness and ultimate inward abundance in this life. And that you may live long upon the earth. I think the main point, is that not only do children in generally, if they're obedient, especially to their Christian parents, they maybe have a promise of a long life in general. But we also see that in the old context of Israel, you wouldn't face the death penalty. So that would prolong your life, right? In order that you may be, not only though that you won't die at the hands of the executioner, but also that you might live and that it might be well with you as you live. He's talking about a full and abundant life under the blessing of God. That's what it is. Do you want that? Do you want that for yourself? A full and abundant life doesn't mean riches and constant health, but that inward fullness and abundance that often works itself out in God's provisions of food and clothing, joy. Do you want the fullness and abundance of God's blessing on your life? In the original context of the Old Testament, I'll let you. Sometimes I skip things. It'll always be on the internet, okay, if you should want it. The point isn't that you'll never have any suffering. God never promises anyone no suffering. Point isn't that there will never be any chance of an early death. There have been obedient children who honor their parents who died early. The point is not that you will never, but the point is you will never, ever encounter these things as the expression of God's displeasure. You won't encounter these things cut off from the blessing of God in and through them. Does that make sense? Instead, God's blessing will always rest on you. God is not blind to your obedience, to your honoring of your parents. And so even in trials, even in suffering, even supposing the exception of an early death. And by the way, that's another thing. Hey, we don't know how long our lives are, but right now is the chance you have to live for Christ. Right now, as a child. And as you obey your parents in the Lord, it will be well with you. I love to say that to you. It will be well with you in this earthly life. God's grace and favor will rest on you and follow you wherever you go. This is important now. Because I think it's really pervading this whole passage. This principle is true for all Christian children, but Paul is especially thinking of Christian children who have Christian parents. That's especially what he's thinking of right now. And that's the normal pattern. So what's the real goal of this command? To honor and obey your parents. It's this. That you might learn Christ. The father says to his son in Proverbs chapter 6, "My son, keep your father's commandment, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. The goal here is not just treating your parents well or doing what they say. The ultimate goal is that you might learn and know Christ as you heed the instruction of your parents. Paul goes on to say in the very next verse, "Fathers, bring your children up in the training and admonition of the Lord." So in your handout, Christ and godliness are the next two blanks. Paul says in another place, godliness is of value in every way, and this is what you're learning as you obey and honor your parents. Godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life. Children, will you believe God's word? Will you be an example to all of us of what faith and the word of God means? Godliness holds promise for the present life. Will you believe that? And also for the life to come. Do you believe that? And so to all of you children, to all of you children here today who are in the Lord, be encouraged, please. Please, be encouraged that as you obey and honor your father and mother, it will be well with you. And you will know the blessing of the Lord in your life. Every child has broken the fourth commandment. Children, don't you know that you've broken the fourth commandment? All of us as parents, when we were children, broke the fourth commandment. And we can't say, well, that was a long time ago. It doesn't matter how long ago it was, we broke it. And we broke it because we had an inward craving and lust for independence. To have my own wisdom, to know what's right for myself. And our failure to obey and honor our parents, every one of us in this room, is proof that we are, by nature, children of wrath. In the eyes of a holy God, every child who has ever disobeyed or dishonored his parents deserves death. But God is rich in mercy and full of steadfast love. And so the very law that condemns you and me, that very law is meant to bring you to Jesus. Maybe even now, I don't know where your heart is. But I pray that you might feel the weight of the law and the burden that it brings and the condemning power that's there. Not so that you might go and be discouraged and overwhelmed, but that so that you might come to Jesus. Truly. Will you come to Jesus today? Where there is, and I just loved these words, that's why I gave it to you, these words to you to write down. Full forgiveness, full cleansing, and full pardon for sin. And the moment that you truly turn to Jesus, the very moment that you trust in Him, the Bible says that you are a new creation now. You're new. You're not the person you used to be. You are, in Paul's words, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And in the case of children, what's those good works? What are the good works that He prepared before the foundation of the world for you to walk in as His child? It's obedience and honor to your parents. And so now, the law that once condemned you can actually be your delight and joy. The law that said obey your parents and that condemned you and maybe you responded in anger, now that you're a new creation, that same law, obey your parents, you can now respond to that with willing surrender and gladness in your heart. Now, one of the surest signs that you are truly one of God's children, being remade into His image, is that you are a child who obeys and honors your father and mother from the heart. Now, I have it there in your hand now. In case you're discouraged and say, I don't know. You know, I still fail. 1 John 1, 10 to 2, verse 1. It says, if we say we have no sin, we're a liar. The truth is not in us. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He's an advocate for all of you children who are in the Lord. Nevertheless, now, the Apostle Paul can write to you with confidence. And let us conclude with these words, God's word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, in order that it may be well with you, and you may live long upon the earth. Dear Heavenly Father, please answer my prayer. I pray for my children, I pray for all the children here, that they will be encouraged today. If conviction is necessary, I pray that they would be convicted, but that would lead to encouragement. I pray that you would help the children to see that they have been called with a holy and a high calling, to display the new creation that they are in Christ, and that their opportunity in these years is to display that through obedience and honor, through fearing and revering the Father and the Mother that you have given to them. Father, I pray that they would know the freedom, the peace, and the joy of living out Christ's love. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.